News.
Good evening. My name is Larato Mashile, and we welcome the following community radio station listeners to the monthly Human Settlements Show. Thank you so much to the listeners of Bush Radio, Eden FM, Radio Namaqualand, Radio 786, Radio Overberg, Radio Tigerberg, Valley FM, Whale Coast FM, as well as Radio Ziwanele. Now, tonight's feature is a unique one, and we are once again joined by the Minister of Infrastructure, Minister Dacia Simmers, and though he will be shifting the spotlight on his two special guests to talk about a fierce team up as we celebrate Women's Month in true Mr. Simmers style. While we cannot more be relevant to this. Now we will discuss the ways in which his portfolio is geared up towards promoting a gender equitably society, dignity and well-being of women, safety of women and economic empowerment of women. Now we want you to be part of this conversation by sending in your WhatsApps as well as your comments on our WhatsApp line on 061-862-1065. That is 061-862-1065. And we are, of course, joined by the head of Department of Public Works and Roads, Jackie Gush. I hope I'm saying that right.
Fine.
As well as the Chief Director of Planning in Department of Human Settlements. That is, of course, Camilla August. Hello. On this special month. Absolutely amazing to be having you. Minister, how are you doing this evening?
Well, hi, Lerato, and hi to all our listeners across the Western Cape in the syndicated radios, more so on our listeners in Radio Namaqualand, Renate and Yila Almo, work on Eden FM. Before I get WhatsApps again saying I must keep my mother tongue as well towards them. So, yeah, it's great to be here. Last time we were here, there was load shedding. At least the lights are still on this time.
Let's hope it stays that way then, because we did mention.
So, no, indeed, it's great to be here, and it's great to be in a month, which means so much to me and all of us who, you know, aspire to see more female emancipation occurring.
Definitely, definitely. Now, of course, Minister, let's start with you on tonight's show. Given the fact that tonight's show has a bit of a twist to it, as we celebrate Women's Month, please do introduce us to your guest. And from your perspective, what does this month mean to you? And do you think women are celebrated enough?
Well, indeed, you know, so many listeners or qualifying beneficiaries across the province, when they hear the name of the minister, they think the minister does everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm one of the few ministers that is surrounded by a lot or majority of those that give me advice, those that see the implementation of the vision of government happening are actually female. So, as you are aware, you know, infrastructure composes of two departments at the moment. It's human settlements, and we have transport and public works and roads. Now, for our listeners, you did speak of Jackie Gooch. Now, she's actually a qualified engineer by trade.
Okay.
So, she's smart, very, very smart, but she also advises me accordingly in terms of infrastructure. Then I have, you know, one can't do anything without proper planning. For every key and over, for every house we develop at the moment through human settlements, it must go through proper planning. But Camilla August is also actually more focused on affordable housing. So she's a very keen advisor in that regard. So a lot of my vision of deferred ownership and all the other subjects we've spoken so far of this year, she plays a key role in that. So behind the scenes, like I jokingly said when I entered your studio, I feel like King Solomon. I'm surrounded by women, very, very wise women in this instance that does advise me. But that is exactly the importance that we need to understand of women in society. You know, over the last 190 years, we've seen many, many female contributors to the world of infrastructure. You know, on my way, I was reading an article reflecting on some of the most key prominent engineers of our lifetime that are female. And there are two of them that stand out for me, and I hope I do their names justice when I announce it for you. Just so our listeners can understand what this means to me, but what female emancipation should mean to all of us when we talk about these women. Firstly, you know, most of us, when we look at at Brazil and we see the infrastructure that's been developed over the last 200 years, we tend to think men led the charge, but honestly, ironically not. There was a woman by the name of Enedina Marquis. She is a person, a lady of color. Actually, the first woman of color that actually graduated with a degree in engineering.
Oh, wow.
And she led the charge for the construction of the Capiravi Caveira plant, which is in the largest southern part of Brazil. That's an underwater hydroelectric plant led by a woman. Oh, wow. Once again, within our lifetime, we've seen this. A second woman, and those of us that have had, that love our movies, we normally see the Brooklyn Bridge, which yes. we all fame.
The New York Brooklyn Bridge.
But nobody was aware that Emily Rubling, once again, a female engineer, is actually the engineer that was in charge of building that world-renowned bridge. Sure. And this is but two examples I can make. So we have seen women that can build a bridge to last a lifetime. And we've also seen women that can ensure that hydroelectricity reaches a part of a country which is still developing. And this is for me what Women's Month means. When we talk about female emancipation, it's not only capacitating our females with a skill set, but giving a platform for those that have gone through tertiary education to come on board, be innovative, and help us create a Western Cape of the future. And that's what this month means to me as a provincial minister.
I love that. Now, of course, if you've just tuned in, this is, of course, the Human Settlements Show. And we are, of course, joined by the minister himself, Minister Tertia Simmers, as well as the head of Department of Public Works and Roads, as well as the chief director of planning in the Department of Human Settlements. If you want to be part of this conversation, please do make sure that you send in those WhatsApps on our WhatsApp line. It's 061-862-1065. That is 061-862-1065. Now, of course, Minister, before I proceed with your two guests, please just tell us, as a leader of the essential of an essential portfolio, would you say that the portfolio promotes well-being, safety, as well economic development of women and equitable society?
Well, indeed, if you look at both departments, you know, we can't talk about female emancipation without proper empowerment. And in government, this comes into be a reality when your programs speak to female development, in terms of contractor development, in terms of opportunity development, and in both of these departments you do see that, because through the various programs of Transport and Public Works and Human Settlements, you know, there's various targets which we are set every year. Both departments actually overachieve on their targets, but not just on paper. When you go out to our various sites, and I've seen female graders grading roads on the Western Cape, I've seen in terms of female engineers being part of the Human Settlements component, you know, we do really do see women come on board. But I think for both departments, and we saw this innovation led by females during COVID-19, in terms of Transport and Public Works, we saw the biggest field hospital being erected. And guess who led the charge? She's sitting right next to me in studio at the moment, actually Jackie Gooch and the team. If you think about in 2020 March, when we launched the Provincial Human Settlements app, guess who led the charge? A young girl who actually won the prize from our department at 19 years old. She's going to study further, and I wished her well. So these are but examples of how practically we are innovative. We share in innovation, but women can ultimately lead through that innovation. So for me, this is what this truly means in emancipating our females, but also in the economy, by affording them through our various programs and our contracts that we give as both provincial departments to ensure that they really are sitting at the table of opportunities, and through them creating further opportunities, and also showing those that aspire to be in the industry, you can do it. Here's good examples.
Oh, now, speaking about those good examples, let's bring in the Chief Director of Planning at Human Settlements, Ms. Camilla August. Now, first and foremost, happy Women's Month. And once again, welcome to the show. Please just give us a background of your career path, your social interests, and your social interests, as well as who HOD is. As a leader in the planning, could you also tell us about some of the key aspects that go into and influence planning of human settlements? So let's start off with you first, because that's a mouthful.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I have a qualification in development studies, really focusing on how the urban environment works, towns, cities, those kinds of things. I started off my career in the private sector. I was terrible at it. We would get these massive budgets to do public consultation with rich communities, and zero budget, very, very small budget for communities in disadvantaged areas. So I would spend my entire weekends running around putting pamphlets in my own time so that we could ensure our communities were being consulted. And pretty soon I realized that if I really wanted to make a difference, I needed to be in government. And that's how I ended up here. Your question in terms of what planning means, to me, my mental picture as a woman, as a mother, is always that child that's struggling to study in the dark. There's a candle, and I suppose now with Eskom, we all are used to how candles flicker and affect our lives. But how do I, as a person responsible for planning, change that child's life? How do I make sure that that child can study with light, with electricity? How do I make sure that child has got the infrastructure to walk to school affordably or travel to school affordably? How do I make sure that child has got water, access to a library, a sports field, a place to play? How do I make sure that that child's parent can feed that child, that that child's parent has got time to spend with them, isn't spending all their time traveling up and down for hours and money? So when you think about what planning is, it's about creating the infrastructure so that that family, that child, can develop socially and economically and put that family in a better position in future generations than where that child found itself.
Oh, that is so needed. And most importantly, we want to invite you into this conversation. All you have to do is send in those WhatsApps on our WhatsApp line on 061-862-1065. That is, of course, 061-862-1065. Now, I will also bring you in Ms. Jackie Gush, the head of Department of Public Works. As a first-time participant on the show, firstly, welcome and thank you so much for joining us this evening. And now I'll also pose a similar question to you as well as we celebrate Women's Month. Please just give us a background on your career path, your social interests, and how do you foresee public works fitting into the human settlement as well as the Department of the Infrastructure in the years to come?
So thanks very much and good evening, everybody. So as Minister mentioned, I started out as a civil engineer and started also working in the private sector, just as Carmela August has indicated. And after a number of years, decided I wanted to try out government. I was in government in the Department of Transport and Public Works for a year and decided this wasn't for me and left and landed up back in the private sector. And during that time, I actually realized what I was missing, which was being a part of the process which decides on what projects to be done and how we're going to intervene in order to change people's lives. In the private sector, you are delivering on what somebody else has decided on, whereas in government, you're part of that decision-making process. Mm-hmm. So not long after being back in private sector, I landed back in the Department of Transport and Public Works in 2005 and have been there ever since, kind of grown up and became HED in 2013. So it's been an incredible journey from a career point of view. Starting out, I did my undergrad in engineering, a master's in engineering, and then a master's in executive management through the UCT Business School. So not much time for social interests other than hiking up our mountains, which I thoroughly enjoy on a Sunday morning, just to give a different perspective and an opportunity to appreciate what we have in our country and certainly within Cape Town as a specific city that I live in. For how public works and transport and roads fit in with human settlements and infrastructure is an interesting question, and one where, as a Department for Transport and Public Works, we've had a vision around enabled communities leading dignified lives. And that's really what infrastructure can help to achieve. And it's more than just the bricks and mortar. So when our teams are working on a road, they're not just fixing a potential pothole or grading a road, they're actually building something that creates endless opportunities. When you see people putting down bricks and mortar on a hospital, it's not just a building, they're creating a facility where people can be treated and can be healthy and see to their well-being. So infrastructure, both roadside as well as then our buildings for health and school infrastructure, when you link that with the idea and the concepts that Carmela has mentioned on a human settlement side, you start to get communities that are integrated, that actually are able to access various opportunities and start to live lives that they are able to value and that show value in them. And that really is something that, as I think civil servants, something that's what we're here to achieve, to be able to serve the communities and help them achieve their maximum potential.
Definitely. Now, of course, we have a WhatsApp question that says, and I quote, "Good evening, Minister. Now, of course, which empowerment and employment opportunities are being created for women in the department? And of course, where do you draw the line in between infrastructure development between the city and the department?" Let's take it one question at a time. What opportunities are available for women in the department?
Well, I have two departments currently which I head, so I'll be answering to both, and we are full short. I'll ask that Judy Gooch assist me from the Transport and Public Works side. In terms of human settlements, we have a specific target set where our minimum target per annum for female empowerment, and the females, it also includes female youth. Mm. I must reinforce that so that our young women out there understand that I'd count them under that as well. We have a set target of almost close to 10 to 20%, depending on the type of program we focus on. Since 2019, we've actually exceeded our target. In terms of women per se itself, we changed the framework guideline to ensure that more female-owned construction companies can actually form part of our framework, which ultimately leads to contracts being available through human settlements. And I must say, I am a bit chuffed with the number of applications we received. But once again, these opportunities open for everybody. But to actually, the reason why we changed the way the framework is structured was to encourage more females in the industry who don't know how to become part of that framework or part of the industry or the built environment to actually come on board. Now, in terms of Transport and Public Works, I know that they have massive, massive programs. I've had the honor of only seeing, I think, a portion of that so far in the last 3 months that I've been the Minister of Infrastructure. So I just asked Achille Gooch to assist me to do justice to what they really do for women through roads and through public works. I must emphasize, because there's various programs in these two specific streams. Thank you, Achille Gooch.
Thank you, Minister. So perhaps just to give a sense, we've got, I'm going to pick up on four particular programs, the Contractor Development Program as well, as similar but different sort of scale as well, where we run construction information sessions. There's structured training, mentoring opportunities that are provided. In the current financial year, so from the beginning of April to date, we've had 56 women attending some of the programs that we have been running. And I can give a sense, just to give one positive thing from the contractor development program, we had one female contractor and her success story, a lady who started a company called Golden Rewards. And when she started her company in 2010, our department was actually one of her first clients. And she went through the mentoring program and has now been graded. So she's increased her grading as a contractor. Sure. And she now employs 76 people. Mm-hmm. And in 2021, she competed with 22,000 businesses in the Jack Ma Foundation's Africa Business Heroes and became one of the top 20 finalists in that particular program.
Sure.
We've got a skills development program where we've got 276 unemployed youth from the Cape Metro and across the five rural districts of our province that are enrolled in our learnership program. Of that, 122 of them are women, so there's also another opportunity, and that's something we do every year. Our Misaki Sizwe Bursary Program, which is aimed at providing opportunities for men and women to study in the built sector, so engineering, architecture, quantity surveying, when they finish matric. And of that, 50% of our bursary holders are women, and they are given a slight preference when we are trying to select to encourage young women to study in the built sector. And we also have one of our female bursars there from Nyanga East area who's been offered the opportunity to study at one of the top-rated universities in the United States for science and technology based upon what she's done there. And then our final program is our professional development program. Once people have graduated from university and they come and work with the department, they are put through a process to register as professionals. And we have recently registered 4 young females in quantity surveying, civil engineering, and architecture.
Can I just expand on that? In terms of the human settlements, 10 to 20%, because we got another WhatsApp asking me what does that mean in monetary terms?
Yeah.
That equates to almost 500 million rand that we spend on female empowerment. Mm-hmm. One such example is in our Mossel Bay project, where 7 of the 9 subcontractors are female-headed companies. Where they started out at level 2 CIDB, three of them have now gone to level 5. So once again, it's progress and assistance that we play as a provincial department.
Now, unfortunately, time is of the essence, but I definitely need to ask this. Now, of course, staying with you, HOD Gush, when it comes to traffic lights not functioning or roads being inaccessible due to damage in infrastructure, is there a differentiation between what the provincial government's responsibility is and that which is for the local municipality? Please just break that down for us quickly.
Sure. There is. Each sphere of government has different responsibilities for particular roads. And so roads are either under the control of the municipality, the provincial government, or even national through Sunwell. So the rule of thumb when there's a particular issue that somebody has is generally to start at the local level and understand that. And if need be, then the local authority will refer it to the province if it's a provincial road, or of course to national level if need be. But there is a way for people to contact us if they want to raise a particular matter or lodge a concern. And from a provincial point of view, there is a contact centre that people can contact. I do have the number if I'm able to,
please,
to give it out. So it's 0860 142 142, 0860 142 142.
Okay.
Or people can also send an SMS to a cell phone number, 079 769 1207. They can send the word help to 079 769 1207, and that way we can also track it from the contact center. It'll be referred and the relevant people will respond to it.
I do hope, Esmeralda, that answers your question on who to contact when the lines are faint, especially now with the winter season. We will definitely make sure that you get that number again, a little bit slower for someone who just got the line right now. But of course, the follow-up question has to be asked. I asked the minister earlier. Now to both the HODs, Gersh, as well as Chief Director August, please just tell us about some of the projects and initiatives that your department is doing to promote a gender equitable society, dignity and well-being of women, their safety, as well as economic empowerment. I'll start with you, Chief Director.
Thank you. I think one of the most important aspects that we do when designing human settlements is how we design that settlement. Mm-hmm. So you'd want to make sure that women are safe, women and children and are safe. So we'd look at how do we design that where they want to go, where they need to go, if they need to access water in our informal settlements, can be done safely. What infrastructure do we put alongside the paths, lighting, etc., to ensure that they can do that safely? How do we ensure that we design so that there aren't as many blind spots for that guy to be waiting who intends to hurt them? And ensure that it becomes a safer environment for them. How do we design so that when a mommy is busy washing the dishes, she can see her children playing outside safely, so that we keep eyes on the street and thus make it a safer environment for everyone who lives in that area?
And of course, to you.
So perhaps just to pick up on one of the programs, because I did mention a number of them earlier.
Yeah.
So on the contractor development side, I think perhaps just to flag in that environment, there are a number of information sessions that are held, day-long interventions that are structured to equip emerging contractors with the kind of information that they need in order to understand the tendering requirements from a government point of view, because it can become a little bit complicated. And so certainly in that way, we're able to support all emerging contractors, not just women, but all emerging contractors. Structured training that we have, which is classroom training, and then of course mentoring, and then attached to that, when I've spoken about our skills development, a particular focus on young women with the kind of skills that will offer them opportunities and an artisan and apprenticeship process that then sets them up for an incredible future. As we know, that's a kind of skill that is desperately in need, not only in South Africa, but it makes people marketable worldwide. We've seen in New Zealand, Australia and others that there's a substantial call for artisans, qualified artisans. So by focusing on women and empowering them, that actually opens up opportunities for them to the world.
As I dust up my CV again. Now, of course, Minister, as we begin the month, what are some of the things that your department will be conducting during the month of August?
Well, no, indeed, we will be, with late in this week, I'll be getting to Swartland to hand over units in the WIP. Obviously, the bulk of our beneficiaries receiving the key for the first time will be female.
Oh, we love.
Then I will be traveling the long, windy N1 down to the central Karoo, where I will be visiting certain of our roads projects and also engaging our roads teams in the central Karoo. Obviously, you know, there's a fair portion of female members of our maintenance teams on that side as well. But for the rest of August, Randy, it's Women's Month. The theme that the national government has pronounced on is female empowerment through equity. So that is what we've been focusing on for the last 3 years since I became the provincial minister. And now with infrastructure, you know, that focus for me just remains the same as well. But also, you know, it will also engage females along the way, you know, contractors, those that aspire to be employed in government, but also to empower them with understanding that, you know, the power for changing the role of women in society is in women themselves.
Definitely.
It's government only plays a role to assist you to get access to that opportunities.
Definitely. Now, of course, unfortunately, time is of the essence, but I'd please like your parting words. I'll start with you, Director.
I think I'm going to refer to, as ministers mentioned, really important women. Here's another important woman, Beyonce.
We love.
We should always all remember who runs the world, girls.
Yeah.
Every opportunity is out there for us, and we need to be willing to take it. We need to go out there and make the difference that we can make.
Definitely. HOD?
Couldn't agree more with that, other than to say that it also requires a balance. Men and women think differently, and we each bring something different to a boardroom table, to a company, to a home, and to a family structure. And it's to understand and respect each one's role within that, and realize that we all have something to add.
Definitely. And then, Minister, please.
Well, what do I say? No, indeed. You know, I really want to wish all the women of the Western Cape, to all our listeners, you know, a blessed Women's Month.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make every month and every day Women's Day and Women's Month, because we do have a lot to do in terms of ensuring that our women come on board in terms of socio-economic rights, but also in terms of empowerment. But similar to our youth, when I spoke on Youth Month, our women must step up, put up their hand. Government is here to assist you, because we can only build better if we get you on board. But we only get you on board if you are resilient by raising your voices and saying we want to be heard, and we want to be heard in an equitable manner.
I don't want to say anything. All I want to say is thank you so much, not only for your contribution, but also your presence on this beautiful month. Thank you so much to my guests, as well as the listeners of Bush Radio, Eden FM, Radio Namaqualand, Radio 786, Radio Overberg, Radio Tigerberg, Valley FM, Whale Coast FM, as well as Radio Zibonele.